Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We're continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 16, which says, "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost." And we've been looking over our last few episodes, looking at the issue of the nation of Israel, looking at how it was that they had an impact on that believing remnant, plus also on the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and what it was that he was attempting to do to spread the message of the dispensation of the grace of God. And as we look here at the beginning part of verse number 16, it says, "Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles." So the nation of Israel as a whole was trying to prevent the message going out to the Gentile nations. And this was a result of the fact that from their belief that they were God's chosen people and that they were the only ones who were going to have God dealing with them. And we see from the Apostle Paul's ministry how he identifies himself as being the apostle of the Gentiles. He shows how he had this ministry to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. But we also see how Paul talks about the fact that there was a distinction between what he was doing and what James, Peter, John, and all the other apostles were actually doing in their ministry. And let's go over to Galatians chapter number 2, to where we're going to see the Apostle Paul actually speak about this distinction between them. And we're going to see this discussion that's going to be happening in Jerusalem. We're going to start right at verse number 1 of Galatians chapter number 2 to kind of show the context of what's going on here. And it says, "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person, for he who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me." We're going to stop there for a moment. We're going to continue on in this chapter, but you know, we can see already by looking at what's been covered here so far that there's this discussion that's going on of where Paul, Barnabas, and Titus go up to Jerusalem. They have a discussion with individuals related to what it is that Paul's been teaching. And you see how he identifies in verse 2 this issue of that he communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. So he goes up and communicates to them the gospel message which was committed to the Apostle Paul, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and that alone, they receive salvation. This is what Paul is going out teaching to the Gentiles. He goes up and communicates this information to the individuals are here in Jerusalem, and you see how it creates this conflict that's going on because individuals have raised up, they've been trying to bring up all these lies about what it is that Paul's been teaching, but the whole idea is that there's going to be an agreement that's going to be made with them, and we're going to see that agreement start to be identified here in verse number 7 of Galatians chapter number 2, where it says, "But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." So we see how James, Cephas, who's Peter, and John, that they identify the fact that there's a difference in these messages and make a decision on how they're going to restrict the ministries and how James, Peter, and John are going to be dealing with the individuals who are identified as the circumcision. That's the believing remnant of the nation of Israel. And that Paul and those who are ministering with him would be going unto the heathen, those that had not put their trust in the message that Peter, James, and John were teaching. It, that message is identified in verse number 7 when it says, "The gospel of the uncircumcision was unto Peter." And how there's a message that just as Paul had a gospel message given unto him, Peter has a gospel message that's given unto him. That gospel message is the fact that Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God, the Messiah, the individual that prophecy had been pointing to, a completely different message than we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, the message that was given to the Apostle Paul. And you see how in Galatians chapter 2, verse 7, that the issue is it's the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision, identifying that each one of those groups has a very specific gospel that's being given unto them. It's a message that you see how in other translations it'll say gospel to the uncircumcision and gospel to the circumcision, trying to indicate that there's only one gospel. The scriptures are very clear that there are multiple gospels, and that each group has a gospel message that's specifically given to them, that's specific for their dispensation, that's going to save individuals. And the only thing that can save someone today is the message that's been given to the Apostle Paul. And you see how there, it was very clear from the beginning that he had this unique ministry, that he was called unto doing these things. Now, I want to go over to Acts chapter number 13 for a moment, because we're going to see here in Acts chapter number 13 a discussion related to, you know, this, you know, kind of what's a lot of times identified as being Paul's first, you know, missionary journey here. But I want to start right at verse number 1 of Acts chapter number 13, when it says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." So there's a work that Barnabas and Saul, who you can see later in this same chapter, is identified the fact that he's, you know, also known as Paul. This is the Apostle Paul that's being spoken of, that they have a work that they've been called unto, and that they're to be separated out from the other things that had been going on. Now, we see and we know that Israel as a whole, you know, even as they were trying to prevent Paul's ministry from going on, it wasn't like that they were actually in a complete agreement or even understanding what was supposed to be going on with them. For example, if we go over to the book of John, we'll go to John chapter number 1. And we're going to see in the Gospel of John some things speaking of the nation and how they had this rejection of even what was being said here. We're going to start right at verse 1 of John 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So we see very clearly from the beginning of this book the identification of the Lord Jesus Christ being spoken of here, and how He's, you know, coming unto the nation of Israel. We skip down here to verse number 11 here in the same chapter, and we see how it is that they, you know, received what was going on here when it says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. So even though He's coming unto the nation of Israel, giving them the message of the fact that the kingdom is at hand and is ready to be ushered in, if they were putting their trust in the fact that He was the Messiah and under believing what God had said for them, and if they were doing this, the kingdom could have been brought in. And instead of that happening, they're rejecting what's going on. We see from the book of John exactly who's being dealt with, because so many individuals still try to put the Gentiles into this, even though, you know, we already saw in verse 11 when it's saying the, you know, issue of He came unto His own, so He came unto the nation of Israel. But if we go over to chapter number 4 here in the book of John, we see that again, it's going to be made very clear of who this is speaking of when it says, verse 22 of John 4, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." It can't be made any clearer than that of what is exactly going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that the message and the ministry of what's going on is geared towards the nation of Israel, and you see how they reject what's going on. We can go over to Matthew chapter number 10, and we're going to see that in the calling of the apostles, the recounting again of this ministry of what's supposed to be going on here. And in Matthew chapter number 10, I want to start here at verse number 1. It says, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." And so the message and the ministry that they're to be carrying on here is the fact that they were to be going and teaching this message, as it says, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this is everything that they really understood, even to the point of when He's getting ready to ascend up into heaven, over in Acts chapter number 1, that we see how their focus and their discussion really relates to this message that they've been preaching here. Let's go to Acts chapter number 1 to see what it is that happens right before he ascends up into heaven. And we're going to read here starting in verse number 6 of Acts chapter number 1. And it says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So their immediate question was related to, is the kingdom going to be established with the nation of Israel? Is now the time that that kingdom's going to be brought in? And the Lord Jesus Christ answers, tells them it's not for them to know when that's going to occur, but tells them that they're going to be a witness, that they're going to be carrying out this ministry going forward, to be teaching, to bring Jerusalem under, you know, the message that they were given, then to go to Judea, the two southern tribes, then to go to Samaria, the 10 northern tribes. And then once they finally had preached this message to all those individuals, brought them into the position that they were supposed to be, then it would finally go unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Then they could finally bring it to the Gentiles and not before. So this is the understanding that they had. It's an understanding that the Apostle Paul very clearly understood. If we go over to Romans chapter number 15, and we'll see how Paul in this chapter is going to clearly identify what it is that was going on in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John related to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here in Romans chapter number 15, I want to read verse number 8. And it says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." So his whole responsibility as he was ministering in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was to confirm all of those promises that had been made. So everything that had been made from Genesis all the way through Malachi, all of those, the covenants, the prophecies, all of these different things that were clearly identifying for the nation of Israel exactly what was going on, the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to confirm those things. You know, individuals try to put his, well, he came to, because all those things were part of the old things, he was coming to do something new. And say, well, he was coming to institute grace as he was coming. He wasn't coming to institute the dispensation of the grace of God. He was coming specifically to confirm all of those things. And this is why, you know, the nation of Israel as a whole really had problems with what was going on, because as they rejected him, they were rejecting this message. So they were rejecting the offer of the kingdom. They were rejecting all the things related to the promises that had been given to the nation as a whole. And, you know, even though they had rejected the things for themselves, you see how, well, we are supposed to be given the message, and now we're going to prevent the Gentiles from being able to go out and do anything. The Gentiles from being able to have the hope that is now being given unto them. And we see how Paul, in this very same chapter that we're in, here in Romans chapter number 15, is going to bring up something that very clearly identifies how there's a distinction between what had been going on before him and what is going on right now in his ministry. When we read here in Romans chapter number 15, verse 16, which says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. So we see how Paul is identifying the fact here of that, you know, what he was doing was ministering Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. He was given this completely different message going forth, which he identifies calling it the, you know, his gospel. Several times he makes that reference. He talks about it being the fellowship of the mystery, you know, trying to teach individuals, you know, things related to this program. You know, all these different terms that the Apostle Paul uses, even when he identifies, if we go back a couple chapters here to Romans chapter number 11, to see how he's going to describe himself here in Romans chapter number 11. And when we read through Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11, we always have that understanding of what this purpose is for, that it's speaking to the nation of Israel, telling them about, you know, why it is that they had rejected, what their current position is, and also giving them the information about how God's going to eventually fulfill all the promises that have been made unto them. But as we see the description, as Paul speaking about what's currently going on, verse 13 of Romans chapter number 11, him describe himself in a very particular manner when he says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Paul is specifically identified as being the apostle of the Gentiles. And again, a difference between if somebody said he was the apostle to the Gentiles, they would be trying to connect him back to Peter and the other 11 apostles and saying that he's just an extension of that ministry. This is why you get some people saying that what happened in Acts chapter number 1 was really a mistake that God just temporarily allowed, and saying that God had really known he was going to raise up Paul to continue this message. Paul says that he's the apostle of the Gentiles, that he's given a position of being an apostle that specifically has a ministry for the Gentile nations, an apostle that's going to be going out teaching the things related to the dispensation of the grace of God, teaching the information that had been given to him, and trying to get people to understand this. Now, when we look at this message and what was given to him, and so many people try to say that Paul really was just saying things that were his own thoughts or things that came to his mind, or, you know, that's all made up by man, Paul identifies where he received all this information. We go over to Galatians chapter number 1. We're going to see how Paul identifies what he received. We're going to read verses 11 and 12 here of Galatians chapter number 1. When it says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the apostle which is preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." The information that had been given to the Apostle Paul was specifically given to him by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the information that God has kept secret until the appointed time, which is the dispensation of the grace of God, and then reveals all of the information that we need through the Apostle Paul so he can go out and minister to the Gentiles, write his epistles, which are Romans through Philemon, giving us the information that we really need in order to function properly. And this is what the the nation of Israel was trying to prevent this message from going forth, trying to prevent individuals from being able to receive this gospel message. Now, we'll continue here with this, looking at this in our next episode. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. We also have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you ever have any questions, comments, about anything in these episodes or our other broadcasts, or anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting the good fight of faith and keep spreading this gospel message to this lost and dying world.